So we have been going through a series called RIPE. Everybody say RIPE. So R stands for what?
Read.
I stands for what?
Invite.
P stands for what?
Pray.
And E stands for what?
Expect.
So those are things that as a Christian you ought to be doing. And every single one of those things, it's interesting because we get a wrong attitude sometimes thinking that God's commandments are tiresome. But that's not what God's commandments are. God's commandments are given to us to be a blessing to us. Amen. See, God is a good God. Look at your neighbor and say, God is a good God. He is good all the time, 24 hours, 7 days a week. Yeah, but if God was a good God, how come there's... And then you can say, well, I'm smiling, right? I am setting you up. How come we're so stupid? Can you say, that's harsh, huh? But how come? See? Amen? I'm just saying... You know, so somebody is drunk driving and they, you know what, and they get in an accident and they kill somebody. Is that God or is that man? See, I could go on and on and on. You know what I mean? But the bottom line is God is a good God. He's always shown himself to be good to man. And mankind, in their rebellion, ends up making bad choices. And God says, don't mock me. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Amen? And we are in this together. So oftentimes what happens is evil of man overflows to innocent people. How many know that's true? You say, yeah, but God could take away that. Well, how can he take away that without taking our free choice? How could he do that? See, God is determined not to take away man's free choice. So you've got a problem. And let me tell you what, the more mankind gets closer to God, the less problems there are. Yeah. It's absolutely true. Amen? People aren't thinking. They want to blame God for everything that happens. Blame man for everything that happens. That is right. And the more that, the more, just look at it in your family. Just look at it, just your family. The more your family turns to God, the less problems you're going to have. It's absolutely true. I didn't say you're going to not have any problems. I'm saying that in a reaping and sowing process. And listen, and you start to get your, you say, yeah, but what can I do? I'm just one. You're one in a family that can make a huge difference. You can get your family in a trajectory to the right direction towards God. Amen. 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 Stop thinking you can't do much. Take your little corner of the world and start understanding the ability you have to make a difference in your little corner of the world, in your family. Yeah, but it's too late for my family. Shutteth, thou uppeth. Can somebody say amen?
Amen?
It's not too late for your family. It's not too late for you. Amen? You know what? They asked Norman Vincent. That's some famous guy. Norman Vincent Peale, they asked him, you know what? What were the 10 best years of your life? They asked him when he was 80 years old. He said, I haven't lived them yet. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
See, And all the things that God has prepared you for, all the things that have happened, good and bad. Didn't we look in the Word? Didn't it say that all things work together for good? Isn't that what the Bible says? So you know what? All the stuff, even the bad stuff, are working together, and He's seizing you and preparing you for the things that He wants you to do, to minister to your family, to minister to your friends. He's got you right where He wants you. Amen? Amen. God is good all the time. And so when He tells us what to do, it's because, I'm just asking, who's smarter, you or God? Okay, good answer. So, but He is. How many recognize God is way smarter than us? So when He tells you to go in a certain direction, I listened to a testimony of somebody who was in the Pentagon. You know what? When that plane crashed into it. And she said the Holy Spirit was directing her and telling her where to run and which way to go and go left and go right and exactly how to get out. She had no idea. And everybody was panicking, and she was led by the Spirit right out to a safe place. Amen. Can God do that? Absolutely He can. But we have to incline our ears. Everybody said incline your ears. All eyes up here. Let me tell you what incline your ears mean. I need to give you a word picture. Here's what incline your ear means. You got it? So you have to make a decision. I'm going to, and I know you know this because you're here tonight. Amen? How many know you could be at home watching I Love Lucy eating a bean burrito, right? But you could be, but you're not. You're here. Amen? So what did you do? You're inclining your ears to hearing the Word of God. And that's a good thing. You're going to be blessed for it tonight. But we've got to change our thought in understanding God is a good God. Anything He says to us, He's telling, even correction that He makes. How many know God is a better parent than you are? And the Bible says, even you know what, not being a perfect parent, you know how to give good gifts to your kids. How much more? Everybody say more. See, one of a good gift, my mom used to say before she spanked me. Amen? I didn't get no timeouts. I got a time in with a belt. That's what I got. But she said, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. I didn't understand that ever. But I don't think so, Mom. But understand this. God is, even when He brings correction to you, He's doing it because He loves you. And how many of you have resisted God's correction in your life? Raise your hand if you've resisted God's correction in your life. And how did it work for you? See, can you learn? How many can learn from your mistakes? See, God wants to bless you. And so even in His correction, even in His discipline, even in His direction, He's trying to get you on target. And this ripe, read, you know what, invite, pray, you know what, expect. These are all disciplines that will bless us if we walk in them. You know what, I just have a vision. I believe that, you know what, I'm going to be here Saturday at 2 o'clock. I'm going to do an evangelism class. The evangelism class only lasts about 15 minutes. And then we're going to go across the street, and we're going to pass out cards. I'm believing people are coming. We passed out 2,500 cards over Easter. Not even that many people. Amen. So I encourage you to rearrange your schedule. Be part of it. There was such an insurgence of joy, insurgence of hope. Sunday, you know what? There were all kinds of people. How many didn't recognize a bunch of people at Hope? Man, how many know that's a good thing when you don't recognize a bunch of people at Hope? Well, that's going to happen as we invite people to our church. And we need to learn to become inviters. We need to learn to read our Bible every day. We need to have an expectation. I'm going to preach this Sunday about the importance of expectation and about what the Word of God says over you and how we can expect, you know what, great things in our life because God has great plans for us. But tonight I want to talk, just spend a little bit of time about the huge benefits, the value of just praying. Now, you don't have to raise your hand, but I just tell you, when I remember for years, I had convinced myself, everybody say I had convinced myself that I was too busy to pray a substantial time in the morning. I just had too many things. I heard a thing about this. I was too busy working for God. Man, we get crazy stupid sometimes, huh? And what we end up doing, think about it. Think about, you know what, you have someone with the intelligence. You know what, somebody like Bill Gates is going to sit down and teach you. Maybe you're going to start a computer business. And you know what, and Bill Gates says, you know what, anytime you want to call me, you can call me. I'll come on over, have breakfast with you, spend some time with you, spend as much time as you need for me to help you know what, launch some things. You know what, you're going to start making some investments. And Warren Buffett says, hey, if you want any advice as far as companies to invest in, you know what? I'll come on over. I'll talk to you about how to make some sound investments. I know some companies that are just going to take off, and I have got some great information that's going to help you. How many would know it would be foolish to tell Warren Buffett, you know what? I'd like to, but I'm just too busy starting up my investment firm. Y'all know who Warren Buffett is? He's like the first or the second richest man in the world. He's made his money on investing in the stock market. How many know it might be a good thing that you would open up some time to talk to him? What would you think of somebody that was starting to invest some money and they said, and they had the ability to tap into, you know what Warren Buffett had to say, and they told you, I'd really like to. This guy, his name's Warren Buffett. He wanted to meet with me, but I got too much. I got to set up my office. Wow. How many would just go, you are unbelievably, crazily stupid? How many would raise your hand and say, that guy is, okay. Well, I want to say, you know what, we can fall into the same boat. I'm not saying you do. That's up for you to judge. But I'm saying we can't. Here's what I'm saying. I used to do that, where I thought I was too busy. I had too many things going on. I'd get to it later. How many know sometimes later is, you know what, the next day, the next day, the next day. Next thing you know, a week's gone by, a month's gone by. Months are gone by, and you're going to get to God. And in that time, things are falling apart. Your marriage is falling apart. Your business is falling apart. Your kids are going all haywire. All kinds of things going on, but you're going to get to it. So you understand how sometimes we can get so off. Man, we've got to. And I want to just share with you some steps, some things that I believe are going to help you, just that we would understand how important it is to pray. My sermon title is A Beginner's Guide to Pray. Let's just keep this simple. Amen? I'm not saying that you're not mature. I'm just saying this is just fundamental. Oh, that's all I'm saying. This is just fundamental understanding, some principles, fundamental understanding principles on prayer that I believe will motivate you and help you. Number one, God loves for us to talk with him. He loves for us to talk with him. It's so interesting because we can get too busy for God, but God's not too busy for us. Aren't you happy? You say, you know what? You ever had a friend like this? You say, you know what? Can you meet at 8 o'clock? Yes, I can. Oh, no, actually, I can't meet at 8. Can you meet at 10? Oh, yes, I can. Oh, actually, I'm busy at 10. Can you meet at 12? Oh, yes, I can. And so every time that you're suggesting that you can meet, he just, you know what, says, that's how God is. God is there for us. He has time for us, and he loves. Everybody say he loves. He loves to talk with us. Proverbs, or Psalms 103, verse 13. Look what Psalms 103:13 says. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. He's got time for them. He, you know what he does? He recognizes our weakness. And so he's there to help us. That's what it's saying. It's saying that God recognizes, you know what, that we're weak, and so he's there for us. He's there for us. Not who, that word fear is not a fear like we're afraid of God. It's that word fear means that you believe what he says is going to happen. Man, he loves those who believes what he says is going to happen. John chapter 5, it's 1 John. Just go to Jeremiah. That guy's in the back, just go to Jeremiah. This is good. Jeremiah. It's in the first one. Jeremiah 29, 11, and 12. Jeremiah 29, 11, and 12. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. We'll go to the next verse in a minute. Keep there. Keep it back there for a minute. Look what it says. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. All kinds of times people have misjudgments. They think they know who God is and what he's going to do and what he's going to say, and they've got all kinds of misjudgment. You know, Eve misjudged God. Eve thought God was a God that was trying to keep something good from her. Can I tell you what? That's not who God is. And God says, listen, don't, and in this verse, there's people that are saying different things about God. And God says, hey, stop listening to those guys. I know how I think towards you. And let me tell you how I think towards you. They're thoughts of peace and not of evil. Yeah, but what about what I did in junior high? What about what I did in high school? What about what I did in last week? What about the person who I am? You know, Pastor, when it comes down to it, I've done some raunchy stuff. I've done some evil stuff. I've done some wicked stuff. I still struggle with my bad attitudes, and I struggle with this, and I struggle with that. And you know what? We start to condemn ourselves, and we start to think, you know what? No, no, no. God says, let me tell you what. My thoughts towards you are not thoughts of anger. They're not thoughts of hate. That's not how I think towards you. My thoughts towards you are thoughts of peace and not of evil. You say, yeah, but doesn't the Bible say that God is going to send, that the wrath of God are going to be poured out of sons of disobedience? It does say that. And the wrath of God will be real at some point in time. But can I tell you what God thinks about you? God thinks you're really, really smart. And so because he thinks you're really, really smart, he always thinks, you know what he always thinks? He always thinks you're going to make a good choice. He always thinks you're going to turn towards him. That's how God is. God is a God of faith. God is a God that of hope, of hopefulness. And so he wants the best for you. He thinks the best for you. They're not thoughts of evil. They're thoughts of peace to give you future and a hope. Everybody say future and a hope. And what does that mean? That means of a good hope, of a good future. That's what he's talking about. Not thoughts of evil. God doesn't have evil planned towards you. God is not going to get you. If we understood how much God loves us, I believe we would absolutely run towards him quicker than we do. And I want you to understand tonight how much God loves you. The next verse, verse 12, look what it says. Then when you call upon me and go and pray to me, I will listen to you. And how many ever been talked to somebody and they're acting like they're there for you, but they don't listen to you? Come on. They're not listening to you. You know what? And sometimes we're that way. We don't listen. Matter of fact, I forget who taught me this. Oh, my brother-in-law taught me this. He said, most of the time, we don't listen to people. You know why? Because angels talking to me, and I've already kind of synthesized what he's going to say, and I've already understand, oh, yeah, he's going to talk to me about that, and I've already got a plan in my mind of what I'm going to say back to him. So when he's talking to me, I'm really not listening to him. I'm really thinking about what a great thought, what a great thing I'm going to say to him back. Hello. You know, can I tell you what? God is just there to listen to you. He says, when you call upon me and go and pray to me, I will listen to you. This is deep. The answer's up there, okay? So look at the verse, and I'm going to ask you a question, and you're going to tell me the answer, okay? Don't look at me like you don't know, because the answer's up there, okay? When does God listen to us? Oh, thank you. You're very good. See, we need to be studiers of the Word of God. We need to see what the Bible says. And when you call upon me and go and pray to me, when you, watch this, when you will say in your busyness, you're so important. Amen. I mean, we all think we're important, right? You know, we go to a mall at Christmas. You know what I mean? I can't believe there are no parking spots. You know what I mean? You know, what did you think? Did you think like Macy's was supposed to say, oh, you know what? Peter's here. Look, Peter's here. Peter, we've been waiting for you. Here's your spot. How many know we all think so much about ourselves? You know what? Here's what I'm saying. And we think, oh, we're so big. No. Listen. What's the reciprocal of this? Here's the reciprocal. When I'm too busy, then God doesn't hear me. Well, how is he supposed to hear you? You're not talking to him. You know what? You know how come I got a date with Tamara? This is deep. I prayed hard. I prayed. You know how come I got a date with Tamara? You know how come I got a date with Tamara? Are you ready? This is deep. Because I asked her. Hello? See, the Bible says, if you'll call upon me, if you'll section some time, think about this, if you will section some time out for me, then I'll listen to you. But if you're too busy, what's a reciprocal? But if you're too busy, I don't hear you. Well, that makes sense, because you're not saying anything. And when does God have time for you? When will you give him 10 minutes? I'm not talking about 10 minutes with your, you know, you ever been, you know, go out to dinner with somebody, and it's like, unbelievable. You know what I mean? You want to throw their cell phone, you know, out the door, you know, in the glass of water. You know what I mean? Because like, hey, you know what I mean? You feel they're being rude. Yeah. Amen? And they need to just, you know what? You're having dinner with them. God says, will you have dinner with me? Will you have lunch with me? Will you have breakfast with me? Will you have brunch with me? Will you have a late night snack with me? Will you wake up early for me? Will you go to bed late for me? You tell me the time. But when you pray, I'm going to listen to you. What an incredible promise from God. Amen. Amen. Number one, God loves for us to talk to him. Number two, God listens to prayers that are sincere and simple. Everybody say sincere and simple. You know what? Oh, you know, how many know you don't have to use big fancy words for God? Amen. How many know you don't have to be all, you know, theologically, you know, ooh, the calculations of God. You know what I mean? How many know you don't have to speak some funky way? You just need to be, God loves, he knows you, he loves you. How many know God, you know what? God hears you all the time. So just, listen, we sing it. You know what? God is our friend. Just go to God with a simple, doesn't have to be complicated, just asking God, you know, Pastor, I don't know what to pray for. What concerns you? What's on your heart? Does that make sense? Yes. It doesn't have to be complicated. You know what? Matthew 6, look at Matthew 6, verses 5 through 8. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the streets, that they might be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. What's their reward? Somebody walks by and says, ooh, look at that. That guy's, well, look at how spiritual he is. He's praying to God. They love to make a point of, you know what, looking at me, look at how spiritual I am. God says, no. I want you to be sincere when you pray. It's not about you. It's not about you doing it for others. It's about you doing it for me. And whether nobody knows or whether everybody knows, it makes no difference. You're just sincere. Does that make sense? Look at the next verse, verse 6. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, your door, pray to the Father who is in a secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Watch it. Let's stop right here. Here's what he's saying. Look, when you pray with a sincere prayer, you're not doing it because of somebody's looking. You're doing it because you love God. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to speak to God, and here's the big deal. God's going to speak back to you. Can I tell you what? God has the answers. And he'll share those answers with you. You're not like, ooh, look at me. You know, hey, what is that? That's a facade. God can see right through it. You're not communicating with God. He's not going to communicate back with you. Your reward is somebody says, ooh, look at how spiritual that person is. Boom, you got your reward. But somebody looking at you saying, look at how spiritual he is. How many know that is not what you need? You need answers. How many need answers? That's what you need. And that's what he says, guys, if you'll do this, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you those answers. The Bible says, anyone who asks receives. Does the Bible not say that? See, he's going to, when you just get sincere, you don't care what anybody sees you. You just need to know how to be a better father. You just need to know how to be a better husband. You just need how to not be so depressed all the time. You're just looking for the answers. And it doesn't make any difference. You're not there trying to get something from other people. You're there trying to get something from God. Do you see the difference here? And the Bible says, if you'll do that, he's going to reward you. There's going to be a reward. Amen. Look at this next verse. Verse 7. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. God doesn't have a word counter. You know what I mean? You ever go to the banks? You know what? Sometimes when we do fireworks, you know, you can go over the bank, give them a stack of ones. They put it in the thing and go. And it's like, you know what, 98 ones. How many know God doesn't have a word counter? You know what I mean? How many know God's not saying, he's not putting, you know what, Richard paid 1,000 words. You know what? And you know what, this person only prayed 400. You know what I mean? Ooh, Richard gets the prize. You know what, this more. No. It doesn't make, you know what, sometimes. You know what? It's not about your amount of words. It's about a willingness that you have to shut everybody out. You know what? God loves it. God loves it when you say, hey, all you guys, I don't have time for you right now. Because I gotta spend time with God. See, not that you're not important, not that I don't love you, but right now, you know what? I'm talking to God. God first. He loves that. And it's not about how fancy your words are, your repetition, you know what I mean? You know, oh, you know what? You know, just be yourself. Does that make sense? That's what God wants. God loves you. Just go to God and say, God, you know what? You said, Pastor, what should I pray about? Here, what are you concerned about? Amen? What? Because I believe what concerns you is your prayer list. Amen? Does that make sense? It's as simple as that. What concerns you? Well, those are things you need to pray for. Amen? Look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask. Hey, Harry knows. Well, if he already knows, why do I pray? Here's why. Because he likes you. He likes to hang out with you. You know, parents, how many know some stuff that's going on in your kids, but when they come to you and talk to you about it, that's cool. Amen. You know, what do you say? Well, I already know all that. You know what I mean? Why are you wasting my time? You know what I mean? You don't say that to your kids. Not if you're a good father or mother, you don't. You don't say that. You're like, oh, man. I love it when my kids will, you know what, will want to talk to me. We love that. Well, I tell you what, God loves it when we talk to him. And even though he already knows what's going on, when we come to him and say, God, I need your help. Man, he loves that. He loves that. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Look at this. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil consciousness and our bodies washed with pure word. Let me just take this top part. Let us draw near with a true heart. See, just sincere. There's not a fake, a facade. You don't have to. You know, how many ever go to, you know, I know you probably, you know what, you know, how many, you know, you go to a high school reunion, you know what I mean? And everybody's got this facade, you know what I mean? And they're, you know what, they might rent a car. You know, they don't own a BMW. They just rented that. How many know anybody can rent a BMW? You know what I mean? Hello. They have this whole facade of who they are, but you know what? If you stuck over to their house, you know what? You'd see who they really were. God knows who you really are. You don't have to have some kind of facade before him. Just come to him just like you are. But look at how this says. I love this. Full of the assurance of faith. A true heart in full assurance of faith. Everybody say, in a full assurance of faith. What is that? Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the confidence something not seen. Here's what the Bible's saying. When you and we're going to talk a lot about this when we talk about the expect. But when we go to God, God doesn't want. Here's what the Bible says: that you must believe that God is, and that He is a rewarder. Oh well, you never know what God's going to do. Who told you that? Some silly pastor, some silly guy on the radio. We know what God's going to do. He's going to be faithful. Amen. That's what God's going to do. God says that anyone who says to this mountain, be removed, cast in the sea, doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes those very things that he says, it will be done to him. Assuredly, I say unto you. So See, we see it again here. Look, when you go to God, when you come to prayer, you need to come to prayer with faith. Amen. James says, if you're praying and you doubt, you know what he says? Don't even expect to receive. Now, how many say, man, Pastor, that seems pretty harsh of God? No. Let me tell you about God. God is offended when you don't believe him. That's the whole issue. Do you know that? That's the whole issue. Faith, you know what faith is? Faith is the currency of his kingdom. I said faith is the currency of his kingdom. How many know you can go to a country, and before you go to that country, you have to take your dollar bills and you have to exchange them with their currency. Amen? Is that not right? How many know you go with pesos to Japan? How many know you ain't going to get nothing? Amen? How many know this is true? No, you need the currency. You need yen. Amen? Is that not right? You need the currency. The currency of the kingdom is for you to trust God. That is his currency. That's why when Jesus says, you know what, we're going to go to the other side, there's a big storm, they wake him up, he speaks and says, you know what, peace be still, and he's done. And he doesn't say, oh, poor papacitos, you guys were scared, weren't you? He doesn't say that. Right? Does he say that? Oh, he doesn't say, oh, I'm sorry. I was sleeping in the bottom. I'm sorry, man. I let you guys down. He doesn't say any of that. You know what he says? He says, what's wrong with you guys? How come you didn't trust me? Where's your faith? He says this over and over and over to the disciples. You know this? Why? Because, see, we have learned to just accept a Christianity where it's okay to not believe what God says. And you cannot, and I'm telling you, you read your Bible. There's a Christianity, and we've just learned to accept that it's okay not to, it's okay to pray and not even really believe, well, you know what, you never know what God's going to do. No, he says, listen, when you draw to me, I want you to have some stuff. I want you to have a true heart. Don't be a phony. I don't appreciate that phoniness. You come to me, and I know you got problems, but you don't act like you don't. Just come to me with all your junk and just be real. And then the second thing is, don't come to me and not think that I'm not going to be able to fix things. Oh, I'm going to God, but who knows what he's going to do? You know what I mean? Oh, you know, it's like, hey, listen, going to God is different than going to Vegas. Can somebody say amen to this? You know what I mean? It's like, oh, come on, baby. Come on, baby. Whoa. What kind of prayer? He's saying, stop doing that. This isn't, you know what, come on. Come on, Daddy needs a new pair of shoes. Whoa! That is not how we're supposed to come to God. We've got to come to God with an expectation that my God, why? Because he said, you know what? If you go to him in faith, if you trust in him, if you believe in him, if you'll speak to the mountain. I just don't know. I don't know who sings it. It's a beautiful song, but it's typical of what we do. So Jesus said, assuredly I say, anyone who will go to the mountain and speak to that mountain, be removed, cast in the sea, not down in his heart, but he will have whatever he is saying. That's what it says. That very thing will happen to him. And so I forget who it is, but the Bible says that surely I say to you, anyone who says the mountain, Jesus isn't talking about him. How many came Sunday? Okay, so you remember the story. Jesus isn't talking to himself. Jesus had just got done. How many remember this? Jesus had just got done talking to the fruit tree. The fruit tree is a... Is a fig a fruit? No, a fig is a fruit. Okay, I thought I'd get you. Okay, so he speaks to the fruit tree, be removed. Next day comes out, it's gone. They're like, whoa. And then Jesus is going to have a coaching moment right there to say, hey, guys, understand this. This can work for you too. Guys, listen to me. What does God teach? What did Jesus teach? Here's what Jesus taught. Here's what his life was. He goes into a situation and changes it. That's what his life was. And when he has an opportunity, they're like tripping out, going, whoa, trip out what you did. Jesus stops and says, hey, guys, you can do this too. I'm just asking, isn't that what he said? Assuredly, I say to you, anyone. Well, I don't believe that. Well, you're walking a self-fulfilled prophecy. See, you don't believe it. You don't say it. It don't happen. These people get these people irritate me, these pastors who are negative towards the power of the tongue. Now, let me tell you why I'm negative towards those people who are negative towards the power of the tongue. Because you got to take out a whole chunks of your New Testament. Everything that was created by the power of the tongue. Jesus spoke things into existence. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Amen. And you can listen to those guys on the Christian radio, but I would turn those people off quickly. That's what I would do. Why? Because they start to eat away in what the Word says. I'm not against them, but I'm against people coming against what Jesus taught. Amen. Jesus taught this. Amen? Amen. I'm just telling you. And Jesus says, here's what, again, this is in Hebrews. Here's what he says. You've got to come with a full assurance of faith. Everybody say, full assurance of faith. Full assurance. You say, but pastor, I feel like that guy who says, I believe, and then he says, help my unbelief. How many ever wanting to believe something, but you still have some doubt? How many in this room are like that? We are all like that. We've all done that. So, pastor, how do I get over that? You go to a church like this where every Sunday and Wednesday I remind you, let God be true and every man a liar. Amen? Because I'm telling you what, we all can get that place. But faith is the substance of things hoped for. The assurance of things not seen. What am I talking about? I'm talking about things that you're hoping for. Things that you're believing for. Things that you don't see. Yeah, but pastor, I've been believing that for 18 years. I believe in that for 10 years. I've been believing that for a long time and it still hasn't happened yet. Well, don't grow weary in doing good. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. For in due season, somebody says due season. Somebody says it's going to happen. That's tell me five times it's going to happen, it's going to happen, it's going to happen, it's going to happen, it's going to happen. If. Oh, ho, ho, ho. If what? If. If you faint not. How do you receive the promise of God? Through faith and patience. That's what the Bible says. If you don't faint, if you keep on believing, 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 you know how long I've been believing that we could have services here at this church and have almost 500 people? You know how long I've been believing for that? Well, praise since the day I got here, amen? And guess what? You know what? Sunday, we were two people away, amen? Amen. Don't you wish we would have passed out some more cards? But that's not the point. The point is, you know what? To have 498 people come to service, there were people who told me, that'll never happen. Hey, talk to your mama because I'm not listening to you. Can I say that in church? Can I say that? Can I say that in church? Yeah. Apparently I can. I just did, right? No, but I don't mean that to be disrespectful to your mama. I mean to say you've got to tell people. You got in your mind. You know what? Recognize they don't know any better. They are just people who all they do is say what they see. Say what they see. Say what they see. You know what? Can you believe what God says over what you can see? Because somebody like that, if they won't grow tired, I tell you what, they're going to see getting it done. Amen. What are you believing for now? I'm believing that 500 becomes a regular number for us on Sunday. Amen. And then Easter, we have 700. Amen. Exactly. Why not? Why not? Amen. And you learned something. Assurance. Everybody say full. Assurance of faith. Amen. Are you learning something?
Yeah.
Number three, God likes to show his grace by answering prayers. How many know God loves to answer prayers? Look at Jeremiah up here, 33 verse 3. Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. God's got a whole bunch of things that you don't even know, but God will reveal them to you in prayer. You know what I love about prayer? When I pray to God, I talk to God. But when I pray to God, God talks back to me. For a long time, I told you this story, but let me testify. You know what? I'd get up in the morning and I'd fall asleep. I'd get up in the morning. First of all, for a long time, I wouldn't get up in the morning. I'd just set my alarm. Come on, that was funnier than you laughed at, okay? For a long time, I would just set my alarm. Okay, I'm going to set my alarm. How many know? Look at your neighbor and say, setting your alarm is not praying. I'm just telling you, it's not. It's setting your alarm. You know, set your alarm, hit it off. Oh, you know what I mean? Hit it off. Oh, you know what I mean? Listen, that's not praying. So for a long, then finally, everybody say finally. Finally, I set my alarm. I'd get up. I'd get up and I'd walk down the hall. And I walked down the hall. I was like, good. I got to go pray. What do we think sometimes? Like God doesn't see me walking down the hall. Amen. I'm gonna get in the living room and all of a sudden get, oh yay, I'm happy. You know what I mean? No, but I walk down the hall and I think this. I know this sounds awful, but I know none of you can relate to what I'm saying. But I'm just saying, just for me, I'd walk down the hall, I'd think, man, this is a bummer. I wish I was still in bed. And then I would go back to bed. I wouldn't pray. I'd just go back to bed in the living room. Amen. How many know? Everybody say praying is not changing beds. Come on. So I just go from one to, okay, you know what I mean? And then the Holy Spirit said, he said, you know the story. He said, go outside. It was in the winter. I went outside. I had a jacket, but I would walk around. It was cold outside, even with the jacket, and I won't fall asleep. And it was in that time that I recognized to a whole different, guys, listen to me. There is a whole place. A whole different, you know what? A whole new world. What's the next line? What? A dazzling place that you never knew. Okay, I won't go on, I promise. But I am telling you. Yeah, but I am telling you. But I am telling you this, there is a whole different place, a whole different reality, a whole different level of relationship that God wants to have with you. That God, just trust me, that if you will give him that time, you'll fall in love with God. And so, you know what? When I went to that place, and because I had a track record of falling asleep, I didn't want to do that. So even when I came in, and I came in and I just talk. Okay, I'm done. Boom. Okay, how many like talking to somebody and they never let you get a word in edgewise? You ever talk to somebody and you're just like, you know what? They're like, oh, I got to go. And you're like, huh? How many of that's not cool? And because I was so freaked out because I didn't want to fall asleep because I had that in my repertoire, but I wasn't falling asleep, but I didn't understand what was going on. And the Holy Spirit revealed this to me. He said, you know what, Drew? Let me tell you what's going on. I like it when you talk, and then I like it when you're real quiet, and then you listen to me. Give me a chance to talk back to you. Now, here's the trick. It takes some discipline to not fall asleep when it's his time to talk to you. How many would like a kind of relationship that you're talking, when you're talking, you know what, Isabel's really listening to you, but then when she talks, you go to sleep? How many of that would be offensive? Okay, so that's the trick. You have to figure out, you have to be disciplined to listen to him. But when you fall in love with God, you will listen to him, and it's one of the richest times ever to have a conversation with God. Call on me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. It's important for me to talk to him, to show him my heart, but it's really important for me to listen to what he says back to me. Yeah. Why? Because, okay, I'm in the room, and God's in the room. Who's smarter? You're in the room and God's in the room. Who's smarter?
God.
Okay. It's important that you would talk to him, but how many know it's really important that you would listen to the smartest one? Is that not true? Okay. So all I'm saying is give him time to speak back to you. Okay. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. If you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? Everybody say, how much more? How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who what?
Ask.
Part of the good things that he's going to give you is just this wealth of information to direct your path, to communicate to you. Sometimes, you know what, one of the most beautiful things that God gives me is his assurance that he loves me. Sometimes in the morning when I'm praying to God, you know what, I'll just be quiet and let him speak to me, and I'll say, you know what, Drew, I just want to tell you how proud I am of you. I'm so proud of you. You know what, you're doing such a great job. You know what, I really appreciate, you know what, I don't want to sound like I'm patting myself on the back, but there will be this assurance of just love that he has for me. Sometimes he'll just tell me, Drew, I just want to tell you, man, I love you so much. Can I tell you what? In this evil, wicked, negative world, man, one of the best gifts I've ever gotten from God is his just reassurance to say, man, Drew, I just want to let you know I'm crazy about you. How many am I motivating you to pray? Because let me tell you what, God, I guarantee it, God will tell you the same thing. Be real quiet and let him speak to you. My last, God longs to be close to you. God longs to be close to you. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18. Therefore the Lord will wait that he might be gracious to you. You know what he's doing? He's waiting. He He's waiting for you. You know what he waited for me? He waited for me to start getting up in the morning. Stop hitting my alarm clock. Then he waited for me to stop falling asleep in the living room. Then he waited for me to shut up that he could talk back to me. Amen. But how many know? God is a patient God. He's waiting. He's waiting. He's waiting. Can I tell you why he's waiting? Because he wants you to speak to him. He wants you to finally come to the place where you say, can I tell you, I'll close with this. Can I tell you one of the things that is so evident when we're so busy for God? You know what we're saying? You know how, and you could say it a different way, but ultimately with your actions, you know what we say to God? We say, God, I don't need you. That's ultimately what we're saying. And God's saying, here, I'll wait. How many ever gotten so, something happened, you got so jacked up, you know what, you don't have to confess to this, but you know what, you're getting drunk every other weekend, you know what I mean, and you know what, you already have two DUIs, and you find, you know what I mean, it's like, you know what, and you just totally, you know, you smash your car, you know what I mean, and thank God, you know, nobody was in the car, you know what I mean, except one of your dogs, and it's like, oh well, but anyway, that was supposed to be funny, but anyway. Okay, but here's what I'm saying. Where you, things start to get really messed up. And then you turn to God and say, God, I need help. Could we get to the place where we can turn to God before we need help? Could we get to the place where it says, where even when times are going good, we continue to depend on God? Because that's what he wants. That's what he wants. I pray that something that has been said tonight will fire up your commitment to spend time in prayer to God. And listen, and I don't know what your time is. If you say, I would say try to at least have 15 minutes in the morning for God. Try to at least have 15 minutes in the morning for God. I'm not saying there's not necessarily, the morning time isn't necessarily a more spiritual time, but you know what the morning time is? It's a beginning time. Sometimes if all we'll do is just turn our face towards God, and you know, how many know, sometimes you just need to start the ball rolling in the right direction. Sometimes we just get up and we're busy and we're doing this and we're doing that and we're doing that. And the problem is we just haven't had any time to start our day in the right direction. How many of the Bible, how many said Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. There's something about humility when you'll say, God, I need the first thing. The first person I want to talk to is you. And how many know, you know what, there was a study that that one of the counselors that we use all the time for marriage, Jimmy Evans, says this, that they did a study up in Washington State, and they found out that any confrontation, any conversation that starts in negativeness, guess how many times it changes into positive? None. Never. You never start in an argument and then at the end just, oh, no. And so Jimmy Aaron says, try to shut it down, not being rude, but try to shut it down and come back another time. I mean, that's our life sometimes. Sometimes we just get in that negative rut and it's hard to get our day back on the plumb line because it's so far off the plumb line. The morning isn't more holy, but there's something very honoring to God when you'll give him just 15 minutes. And maybe you can give him more. Maybe you say, you know what, I really need to spend half an hour. I could do that. You'll be surprised how much better your day will go. How much just change there'll be. Let me close in prayer. Father, I just thank you for the people who've come tonight. I thank you for their willingness to come and hear your word tonight. I pray that we would turn our face towards you. I pray that Hope Community Church would be a church where people just really have a real relationship with you. Help everyone who heard this tonight to spend at least 15 minutes in the morning in prayer with you, spending time with you, with the phone off, before the kids get up, just them and you, to speak and to listen. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. Amen.